Welcome to Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast. It's time to be healed. It's time to be restored. It's time to breathe. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. Here's our host, Sandy James.
Hey, welcome to Breathing Room. This Hello is Sandy there. James, and I'm here with Mariah Ball-Weber. And we are here. What are we talking about? We've been talking for a couple episodes now on the other side of hopelessness.
Yeah.
What hopelessness is about. What hopelessness is not. It's not real. No. It's not real. It feels real. It looks real. There are days that I think there is nothing more hopeless than this right now. And the Lord said, that's not true. He said, that's not true. He said, there is life on the other side of this. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled. I love that but there.
Yes.
But a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. He intends to fulfill our desires. Can I just take a segue just for a second? I was thinking, as I was getting ready to record this one, that we have got to get our theology straight. And this is going to make some people mad. And I'm okay with that. You should listen just to be made mad and have your theology challenged.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Everything that God wants to happen does not necessarily come to pass. You're going to watch your doctrine that says, you know, if it's God's will, it'll happen.
Or if it happens, it's God's
will. Or if it happens, it's God's will. Or God's in control. He is in control. He is sovereign. And in his sovereignty, the first thing he gave man in the garden was dominion. He never wanted that snake in that garden. It was Adam's job to keep the garden. He should have driven that snake out from the very beginning. We can't say, well, you know, it happened, so it must have been God's will. No, no, no. God gave him command to keep that garden. There must have been something to keep it from.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
And so we've got to be careful with our theology that says, whatever happens is God's will. That is not the truth.
No, it's not.
That is not the truth. It is a wicked lie that blames God for every bad thing that happens. We know the will of God because his word has gone forth. We know what he wants to do. And then we rise up as covenant believers to stand with him, to make decree, to be a conduit of heaven upon the earth, to insist that his will comes to pass in the earth, to insist that babies are no longer slaughtered in the womb, because that's not God's will.
Mm-mm, no, it's not.
But it's happening every single day.
Yeah.
Jesus said, it's not my will that any man perish.
Wow.
You remember him saying that? Does it happen? Do men perish? Absolutely. They perish. So does God always get his will? Absolutely not. We have got to stand with him, and we need to make a wall and proclaim the word of the Lord over every situation we see come to pass.
Well, we can liken that to a landlord and a renter, right? So you have the landlord and he gives the key to the renter.
Yes.
And so therefore now that Sandy, let's say Sandy's the landlord and I'm the renter, she gives me the keys to the house. Okay, I put my car in the driveway, I go in, I move into the house. Now it's essentially my house. My name is on the address. That's where you're going to send mail to me, all of this. Now, if I'm making soup one night and the soup burns and it gets scorched and then the kitchen lights on fire because of this.
Because you took a phone call and left the kitchen.
Exactly. Is that the landlord's fault? Because, I mean, it is her house. No, that's not her fault. That's my fault. So, and this is with no condemnation, but here's the deal. We are the church. We are the ecclesia. We are the governing body, right? In the kingdom of God. So we are the ones who gets to either allow or not allow intruders, destruction into this house, any, whatever, and you name it. Are we taking our authority for granted? Or are we using that to protect the house
right.
and to protect the people in the house?
Right.
So what are we doing?
Because here's what I think. And you know, you get to listen to what I think you're listening to reading.
Welcome.
Here's what I think is that's lazy theology. It's lazy for us to blame God for everything and to say, well, whatever God wants to happen will happen. And whatever happens is God's will. That is not the case.
No.
And I will stand up toe-to-toe with every other freedom fighter in the spirit and in the natural who is fighting for what God has already proclaimed in the earth. We're going to stand with him. So the other side of hopelessness, you need to understand something. You can't have hope unless you believe you would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That's what the psalm says. It says, I would have lost heart had I not believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You know why we give up our hope? Because we forget to believe that he will come through for us and that we will fight with him shoulder to shoulder. Isn't that amazing? That God wants to work with us in the earth. That's the first thing he gave to mankind was dominion. And then we allow him, we ask him to come and take control of certain situations in the earth. We do that. We ask him to come and reign over our children and teach our children so that their hearts will be full and their hearts will be whole and they'll serve him all the days of their life, right? We get to stand in the place of a covenant son and daughter of God to proclaim the will of the Father in the earth and to see that it comes to pass there. Amen? Yes, amen. So back to hopeless situations. The one I left you with last week in Ziklag, remember, the city was burned down. All the wives and children were taken. The men were griping and complaining and crying until they had no more power to weep. David grabbed the ephod and went and worshiped the Lord by himself. And he heard again what God said to him. And he strengthened himself in the Lord. He got battle directives. And he went and did what God said, because after the battle directives, it would have been really easy for David to have just laid down and take a nap. Yeah. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm mad. Here I am fighting the battles for you, God, and you allowed somebody to come in and take my family. Oh, no. Remember, the devil is an outlaw. He steals not because he has a right to steal, but because he breaks the law. Right. We need to push him back across the threshold and say, not here, not now, not with my family and not with my nation. Does that make sense? So that's where we're in Ziklag. You know of any other hopeless situations on the other side of which was breakthrough? I know lots of them. We just came through Hanukkah. We just came through Hanukkah at the beginning of December. Where we are right now, we are taping this at the very end of December 2020. And we just came through Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is simply the story of a godless culture encroaching on the culture of the people of God, right? The Greek culture coming in with all of its paganism and taking over and pushing around the people of God. So much so that they sacrificed a pig. They desecrated the temple by sacrificing a pig on the altar there. And one family, beloved, stood up against the encroaching godless culture, and they won that battle. Because when one family stood up, it gave the other people of God that were trying to fit in and not offend anybody and to submit to the authority or whatever thing we come up with to justify our weakness. Right. They stood up, they got bravery from this one family's bravery. It was one father and like five sons, and they ran against that Greek culture. And they burned the lights and they re-sanctified the temple. And the miracle of Hanukkah is that one day's oil burned for 8 days while they were making more anointing oil to burn that light of intercession in the temple and to cleanse that place. And so what we just came through, it's beautiful. It's a season of miracles. It's a season of hopelessness becoming victory. Mm-hmm. It's a season of the other side of hopelessness. Guys, one family cannot fight the entire Hellenistic world. And yet we did. And we won. And Israel survived as a result of that. Glory to God. Somebody's got to stand up and be the one who will stand against what is easy. Because it's always easier to back down, isn't it?
It is.
It's always easier to lay down and cry. But there are things on their destiny on the line. We have to succeed. We have to succeed. I don't care what it is you have to succeed at. Your company has to succeed, beloved. Because the Lord said, I will prosper. Whatever you set your hand to will prosper. Amen? That's what he said. I'm going to stand for the truth of that statement until there's no more breath in my body to stand. And I will see it. I will see the fulfillment of God's heart for my company, for my family, for my children, for the people in my ministry or under my influence, for my nation, for your nation. God is sending a revival in the earth like never before. And we have a choice. We get to choose right now where we stand in history. We'll never have this choice again. And we get to stand on one side or the other of history. Did we back down when the fight came? Or did we stand and proclaim loudly the word of the Lord, doing everything he tells us to do? Mm-hmm. Lazarus. What about Lazarus? Lazarus was dead. He wasn't just dead. He was dead. He was 4 days dead. Now, there's a reason the Lord waited for 4 days. One is that he loves drama. The other is that the ancient Hebrews believed that the spirit of a man would hover around the body for 3 days. So he waited until the fourth day, until everybody agreed, okay, right, he's dead.
He's dead.
He's officially dead. And then he just called his name and said, come forth. And no death in hell could hold back that miracle. No death, no one could resist the power of the come forth that came from Jesus. And it was hopeless. It was 1 minute it was hopeless. The next minute they are cutting off the grave clothes from that man, so that he could move freely, because he was mummied in that tomb. And he hopped that. Can you imagine what that sounded like? Jesus calls out really loud so everybody hears him. You know, I'm sure if you were standing next to Jesus, right, in that arid climate, and you were looking into that tomb, and Mary's crying, and she's going, I mean, Martha's crying and saying, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks. What are you doing? And he said, roll the stone away. He didn't say it quietly. He didn't go up and whisper to the guy at the stone going, hey, roll that stone away so that no one could judge it if it didn't come to pass. And then when they rolled the stone away, you heard him cry at the top of his lungs, Lazarus, come forth. And you know, you're still a little bound in fear of man, holding on to Jesus' hand right there. And you're going, shh, not so loud, right? Could we just say it quietly? Can God not hear? No, it was time for Jesus. The body of Christ in that moment was Jesus, right? It was time for the body of Christ to roar like a lion and bring forth dead things. He had died out of time. Does that happen? Yes, it happened. It was not his time to die. And so Jesus went and brought him back to life by calling out his name. So 1 minute, everything is gone. Remember what we talked about, property passing from father to sons. Well, if there was an older brother, he would have taken care of his sisters, right? So when Lazarus died, his sisters were destitute, right? And so what they had to understand was there is no hope for them now. After the funeral and all the potato salad is eaten up and all the chicken is gone, there's no hope for them now. And Jesus was not moved by impossibility, because nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is too difficult. Listen and let your soul hear that. Nothing is too difficult for him. It's about to turn around. And had they known it's about to turn around, they wouldn't have been so frantic. But they found out soon enough that Jesus was shameless mm-hmm. about raising up that which was hopeless. And he's shameless about doing that for us today as well. Mm. The classic story, the best one, I think, of hopelessness turning to victory is Jesus. They've put all the ones who are following Jesus around, the small movement of disciples that are following this rabbi from Galilee around, have put everything into it. They've left fathers and mothers, they've left businesses, and they've followed him around, and they've watched him bring the kingdom of God to the earth. And it was amazing, right? It was so amazing that they thought, okay, this is our guy. This is the Messiah. This is the one we've hoped for. This is the one Isaiah talked about. This is the one all the prophets talked about. This is the guy. Yay. We're on the right side of history. And then, okay, so he comes into Jerusalem, and they're crying out for him, and they're saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and the palm branches and Palm Sunday and the colt that was tied in exactly the right spot. This is all working our way. And now now the crowds are cheering and the 12 are walking beside him and they're kind of in that great place of like, yes, that's him. And yes, we're with him. And that feels good. And then 1 week later, the same people that are celebrating him are crying out for his crucifixion. The very same people are crying out. You know why? Because it's easier to go with the crowd than it is to stand for what is right. It's easier. It's easier. The pressure is high to go with the crowd and say what the media is saying and say what everybody who wants you to talk for them will say, right? And they did that. They called for his death because that was easier. So now these men and women, there were women that followed Jesus as well. These men and women have given everything up to follow him. And now nothing is going their way. Everything is being turned around. And he dies brutally on that cross. The Bible says that he was marred like no other man. He didn't even look like a man hanging on that cross. He was so, so scavenged. Wow. He was so brutally murdered. There was nothing left. He didn't even resemble a man. Now, he was strong enough that he lived until he cried out with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. So he laid his life down, but they marred him and brutally ravaged him until he didn't even look like a man. What does that feel like to you if you've given everything up for this movement that is now dying in front of you?
Now, Jesus had said to them, here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to miss what he's been saying.
Right.
Because he's been saying to them, I'm going to rise again. Mm-hmm. It's me, y'all. Like I'm fully man, but I'm fully God. Like this isn't the end.
Don't worry.
I came that the lost should be saved. Like I am the resurrection and the life.
And he even said, I'm going to die. It's going to look bad. Right. It's going to look super bad, but I will rise again. And he even told him one day he would rise again. I'm going to rise again on the third day.
And I mean, they're probably thinking, yeah.
Right. Because everything's going their way.
They're not even hearing it.
That's right.
Let us not be the ones who don't hear it. Right. I don't want to be the one who doesn't hear it.
Because what will carry you through the second day is what he said before it happened.
Wow.
Don't forget in the dark what he told you in the light.
Oh, man.
Because what he told you in the light is what is still speaking. If you'll listen for it, don't forget what he told you before the storm started. And they did forget. Can you imagine? He's crucified. It was horrible to look at. Even God didn't look at. And the sun couldn't even shine on it. It was so bad.
So bad.
All of creation shut down because they didn't want to see it. That's got to feel horrible. That your best friend has been crucified and that everything you gave your life to is now bloody and on that cross and then in a borrowed tomb, right? Think about the second day. You've cried all you can cry. You're dry now. There is nothing left in your soul. And the second day is quiet because you're hiding, because you're convinced they're coming for you next. They saw you with him. So you're hunkered down and you're hiding. And you can't eat. And somewhere in the back of your soul, you remember that he talked about the third day. But who cares about that now? He's in a tomb. I saw him die. There's no way anyone can live through that. The second day, what he told you before it happened will carry you through the second day. Don't forget. Don't forget what he said. Because on the third day, so second day equals hopelessness. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Third day is the breakthrough. You got to get through what you're going through now to get to the day of resurrection for you. It's coming. It's coming, and it does not take long. Notice that at the end of every one of these hopeless situations, the breakthrough was right there. It didn't take 12 years to get there.
Right. No.
It was very short. So don't forget. Don't forget. It's coming. You just have to remain faithful. Let's take a minute and stop for our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Greg with Greg James Designs. We design barndominium homes, metal building homes, and pole barn homes. If you would like to call us and discuss your project, feel free. 405-697-2110 or visit us on the web at gregjamesdesigns.com. We would love to talk about your project. Give us a call.
Welcome back to Breathing Room. We're talking about the other side of hopelessness, week three. Week three. It's so good to have you with us. We're still at our kitchen table, still drinking coffee. We have some in the French press if you're ready. I want to take us back to that second day. It was the death of the second day. It was the day of death for them. But he never saw it like that. That's what I need you to see. The Father never saw it like that. There was absolute breakthrough coming, and he knew it. And this was necessary to get them through because remember, the devil thought he'd won. Just like at the Red Sea, he thought he'd won. He thought he beat him entirely. That's the thing about the devil. He is wise with earthly wisdom, but he is not the smartest creature on the planet. He is the author of confusion. Remember, I told you that a couple weeks ago. He is confused. And he thought he won.
Yeah.
But on the third day, everything shifted. And everything shifted again. And resurrection power shot through the universe and hit that tomb. And he came forth with not one issue. He came forth with absolute victory, holding the keys of hell. The very thing that the enemy thought was going to trap the Lord became the trap that the enemy fell into. It was his destruction.
Wow.
The Lord suckered the Egyptian army into that sea so that he could drown them in one fell swoop. The Lord suckered the devil into crucifying Jesus so that the sacrifice would be made and the body of Christ could come forth in power. Now it's not just one Jesus walking around on the earth. Now it's thousands and millions of us walking around with the same power of God to bring the will of God and the kingdom of God to bear in the earth. Do you see how the enemy always shoots himself in the foot by trying to trap us? And then the Lord turns that trap around. He was not at all worried on day two, and he's not worried now. Amen?
Amen.
These are just some stories. The Lord does this over and over and over again. This is a pattern for him.
He loves this pattern.
He really, really likes this pattern. There's no hope. And then all of a sudden there is breakthrough because somebody stood their ground. Somebody became the tool of God in the earth to stand their ground. I think that's an amazing story. What about you? I want to hear your story. Where has God broken through for you where one day it seemed like there is total destruction and the next day there was absolute breakthrough for you? It's happened throughout our history. Next week, we're going to talk about American history because I believe that we are, as we sit right now, like I said, tomorrow is New Year's Eve, 2020 for us. By the time you're listening to this, there's been a lot that's gone forth to bring forth our republic again. I believe that in the U.S., we are in the refounding of our nation, that it is 1776 all over again. That the Lord, because we have cried out to him and asked him to restore our nation and to cleanse it and to clean out all their corruption and to have his way in this land, there's a remnant of people that are crying out to bring down godlessness and to raise up righteousness in our land, and that America would be a city on a hill before him. That intercession has been going on for decades that I know about and long before that. And that intercession has worked.
Yeah.
And in so doing, the mess that we're cleaning up is pretty messy and pretty brutal to watch. But as I sit right here and right now, I know that I've already seen God in history do some amazing things on our behalf and on the behalf of other nations. We're going to talk about those things next week. Where has hopelessness become victory for us? In the earth,
wow.
Not just in biblical history, but in what we have decided is secular history that's not secular at all. Where has he moved on our behalf to make impossible things happen for us? We are a nation today because of what God did to rescue us in 1776 and 1778 and in the 1800s. Over and over and over again, we were almost destroyed and he came through. We're going to talk about those things next week. In the meantime, I need you to get in touch with us.
Yeah.
You can reach us really easily. On Breathe Retreat Life, there's a contact page there. We want to hear from you. There is a Breathe Retreat coming up on April 24th that is going to be the best. Yeah, I always say that. But as the Lord's beginning to talk to us now about that retreat, all I can tell you is you do not want to miss it. You can register right now. For the lower price, you can register right now and get that price and invite your friends to come with you. It is a day that will change your life forever. All I can tell you, women of God, is that you need a day set aside to worship Him without restraint, to worship Him and press into the presence of God until miracles begin to break forth and He has His way unhindered. It is an interactive, it is completely immersive event that is very bent on building it around the presence of the living God and not around a sermon or an agenda. It is very, you've never been to anything like this. If you've not been to a Breathe Retreat, you don't want to miss it. God bless you. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We are praying for you and we want to hear your story. Please share this with a friend and subscribe to this. And we will talk to you next week about American history. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. To find out more about Breathe Retreat, visit breatheretreat.life. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Join us next week for Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast.